Hi, this is Randy, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains, where real scientists answer your beauty questions. For Tuesday, December 23rd, 2014. Ho, 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 and welcome to our Christmas Eve Eve show. I'm Santa Schuler, and I'm here with my elf, Perry Romanowski.
Hi, Randy, how are you?
That was not an invitation for you to use that voice. We've talked about this voice.
I thought you meant I had to use my my elf voice all show.
Well, thankfully, I don't have to. Oh my God. But I could if needed, if it's needed.
I'll cue you when we need that.
Thank you, sure.
Well, since this is, the eve of Christmas Eve, I thought I would share one of my favorite Christmas stories.
Oh.
Yeah, well, we all have our favorite memories of the season, right?
I mean, sure.
Christmas trees, stockings stuffed with gifts, the beauty of fresh fallen snow. But nothing says happy holidays quite like this study I found on the composition and pharmaceutical activity of chondroitin sulfate obtained from reindeer trachea. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, wow. That's right. I said reindeer trachea.
Oh, my. So what is it? Cut up reindeer?
Yeah. Well, chondroitin...
Happy holidays.
Chondroitin sulfate is usually used as a joint medication, but, chondroitin-based ingredients do make their way into a variety of skincare products. So, I'm just wondering if jolly old Santa is secretly harvesting reindeer trachea for Big Pharma. to which, of course, I can only say, run, Rudolph, run. Run, Rudolph.
All right, I'm jamming. You got to make a miracle to make the freeway down. Run, run, Rudolph, feeling like a merry-go-round. Hey, wait, there's someone in the audience who wants to say something.
Okay.
Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho.
Is that a pirate?
Wait,
it sounds like... Oh, it's Santa. I was pretty sure it was a pirate there for a minute, but...
I did have one other thing, in this holiday shopping season, but I stumbled on this product that I think I'm going to send for you.
Oh.
It's called How to Smell Like a Nerd. So in case you were looking, it's the cologne is called Eau de Nerd. And they actually have both a men's and a women's version. So and see if you get the joke here. The women's version is called the Nerd XX, and the men's version is called the Nerd XY.
Oh, it's chromosomal based.
It's a little chromosomal humor there, which always reminds me of one of my favorite jokes. How do you tell the difference between a boy and a girl? Look in their jeans.
You don't have a rim shot there? I think... The most basic sound effect would be just have a rim shot at the ready.
Oh, so. Yeah, a rim shot. Boy, how did I not have a rim shot? What's this mean?
Some sort of plastic explosive. All right, well...
And you too can get all these sound effects at soundeffectsforfree.com.
Speaking of products that you would want to buy me or your loved ones, I thought we would play our improbable products game today.
All right. That sounds good. I you know how I love this. Wait, let me go get Chance so she can participate too.
Wait, Chance is a she?
Well, no, Chance is just cards, but she, Chance is the spirit of randomness. And,
sort of like the way you approach the show.
I mean, come on. But like, come on. I mean, isn't randomness a female? You call it Lady Luck, right?
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah, all right. I hadn't
there
thought
you
of
go.
All right. Yeah. So anyway, we have a theme for today's show. For today's game rather. I just read an article about makeup in prison.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
So
makeup in prison.
Yeah, I mean, for obvious reasons, it can be difficult to get real cosmetics in jail. So the inmates have designed ways to create their own makeup, which they call fake up.
Wait, did you get this from Orange is the New Black?
No, I haven't seen that show.
Well, If anyone from Netflix is listening, I love Orange is the New Black. It's an excellent show.
All right. Thanks for sponsoring the show, Netflix. So this idea of fake-up products for prisons inspired me to make an improbable products game. So you have to guess which one of these is not the real fake-up recipe. Does that make sense? You have to guess the fake-up, I guess. All right. Here we go. So number one. Dissolve the candy-coated shells from M&M's in some hot water to make your own lip stain. All right. Number two, blend cigarette ashes with a touch of pocket lint to create a lash-thickening mascara. And number three, pour leftover coffee into your skin lotion to make your own foundation. Use just enough coffee to match your skin tone. So which of those three is a fake-up product?
So the M&Ms can make colored cosmetics. Is this what we're saying?
If you're listening to the show, yeah, that's exactly what we're saying.
Well, that was like, a minute ago. I can't be. Then the cigarette ash. So the coffee foundation. That one seems a little odd to me. It seems like the color palette of coffee is pretty limited, but. On the other hand, I could see coffee is a good dye. The cigarette ash blended with lint. I used to do a magic trick with cigarette ash, so I know it's very useful, but I'm a little suspicious of that. The M&Ms, why M&Ms? Why couldn't it just be any color? But you definitely could get a food coloring dye from the M&Ms. Just not sure you would get enough. Huh. All right. Well, the only one I'm pretty sure is right is the coffee foundation. I'm going to say the cigarette ash is the BS one. Because it just doesn't seem to me that you do. Wait.
Oh, my God. Look, I have to wrap gifts pretty soon. So can you just pick it up a little?
All right. We'll say cigarette ash. So let's go over to Chance. Hey, Chance, what do you have to say? Chance is telling me that the M&M one is the
Now, just to be clear for any unfortunate souls who are stumbling onto the show for the first time, what Perry is doing is he takes a couple of cards and then draws a card at random to figure out the correct number, right? That's the bit. Could you put your tea down and please pay attention to the recording?
That is the bit. We got the three cards from Chance, and then Chance chooses and Chance chose the first story as the fake.
Okay, so you and Chance agree that using leftover coffee and your skin lotion to make a foundation is real, and that is indeed something that's really used in prison. So how well it works, I can't vouch for, but that is something that the article said that the inmates are doing.
There we go.
You and Chance disagreed on the second one. Chance seems to think that dissolving the candy-coated shells of M&Ms to make a lip stain is fake. Well, it's fake up. It is true. They are doing that in prison. So apparently, I'm not sure why it's easy to get M&Ms in prison, but you can't get a tube of chapstick. It doesn't quite make sense to me, but but whatever. That's what they're doing, which means you win this round, right?
All right. I beat Chance.
The idea of blending cigarette ashes with pocket lint to make mascara is just made up.
Wait, my audience. Come on, audience, that's all you got?
Well-deserved accolades for you.
Ah, finally.
All right, well, before we get to today's Beauty Science News stories, I thought we would pause for a word from our sponsor.
All righty.
If dandruff dulls your hair, leaves your scalp itchy, please listen. You can get rid of annoying dandruff so fast today, no one should suffer any longer. With Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo, unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. It's the quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. Besides that, using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch Shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes, with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. And while removing dandruff, Fitch can also brighten hair up to 35%. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too. Use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
Wow. There you go. There you have it.
I hate to tell our sponsors how to run their business, but they might want to charge more than 59 cents for a dandruff shampoo. That seems a little ridiculous to me, but
I'm trying to figure out how they came up with that name. You know, I imagine the marketing people are sitting, or the advertising people are sitting around like, we need a brand name. We need a brand name about dandruff. Yeah, it's like this f***ing itch. Itch.
Well, or it could just be, you know, Bob Fitch is the guy who started the company too. I'm not sure.
Oh yeah, but I don't know. It seems very suspicious that the word itch is in a dandruff brand.
Well, it could be fighting itch. It doesn't have to be f***ing itch.
There you go. Yeah, but I wanted us to get the explicit label on the podcast.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you, Fitch Dandruff Shampoo, for sponsoring today's festive holiday show. So now it's time to move on to Beauty Science News. You want to kick things off?
Hey, here's a story about a new line of cosmetic products that caught my attention, primarily because I had this exact idea when I was formulating back in 1998. Boy, I'm old. Anyway, I can't believe it took more than 20 years for this to actually happen. So according to this report, there's a new line of products called Dr. Organic's Snail Gel Range, which has a cream, eye serum, facial serum, hand and nail elixir, and moisture mask. So this line of anti-aging products is made with a substance they call Helix Aspersia muller, which is produced by snails to quickly regenerate its shell when it's damaged. So essentially, this snail slime is harvested by snail farmers in Chile who, of course, accidentally discovered that the snail slime made their hands feel incredibly soft and hydrated and also sped the healing of minor cuts and scars. The company say that they also mix in a little organic aloe vera and other bioactive ingredients to soothe and hydrate skin. So now there are two things I want to talk about with this story. First, snail slime as an ingredient. I'm sure it's a fine enough ingredient, and maybe it has some humectant properties or emolliency that even gives a little moisturizing, but I highly doubt that there's anything particularly special about snail slime when it's delivered from a cream. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when I was looking at the snail slime, you know, I had this brilliant idea. It was more for hair products. Because the one thing that, you know, dried up snail slime does is very shiny. And so I thought it would make a really good ingredient for a styling product, a shine spray or something.
Yeah, like a pomade or something. Sure.
Okay, but technology aside, what I really wanted to talk about was the marketing of this product. And it really made me chuckle. I mean, they have a little bit of everything. It was like some marketer went to the natural marketing handbook and they just threw everything in it. First, the name of the product, right? It's Dr. Organics. First, there's a doctor. Yeah, but then organic. Everybody likes that. So it's Dr. Like, where is this Dr. Organic person? Come on. Really, seriously. Then, of course, they've got the high-tech ingredient with some, you know, some vaguely scientific, sciencey name, right? It's the Helix Aspersia muller ingredient, right? And of course, whenever you're selling a skin product, there's aloe vera because, you know, everyone knows aloe vera is good, right? And then their other vaguely sciencey description of their proprietary blend of bioactive ingredients. But wait, then they put, my favorite is the Chilean snail farmers, right? They point out that the Chilean snail farmers do not harm the snails when harvesting the secretions. So at first I thought they had to milk the snails and they had, and I imagined what they were doing. Maybe the Chileans were sitting on their little stools with little milking tweezers for the snails. But actually, it's a little more investigative. They don't do that. They just let the snails roam freely over glass slides.
Oh, free-range
right.
Snails.
Exactly. It says in the marketing, these are free-range snails. as opposed to what, boxing them up in little pens? And just to assure you that they've got all their green marketing bases covered, they hit you with a couple of boogeyman buzzwords stating that the line is free from all petrochemicals, including parabens and sodium lauryl sulfate. So there you have it. Snail slime marketed right.
Wow. Wow, that's very entertaining. You know, it's funny, and I'm glad that you weren't tricked by that, that you didn't, you know, fall in for that hype and buy a bunch of this anti-aging product, because we're about to have a big bust on the entire anti-aging industry.
Get out of here, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So according to Data Monitor, which is a company that monitors data, I guess that
sure, sure.
The new trend is showing off your real age. So in fact, according to their research, age is now perceived as, quote, another step for women's liberation. So this pro-aging movement wants to remove all anti-aging claims because they're not against aging. In fact, they are for looking healthy and being honest.
Oh.
So, so what does all this really mean, right? So it sounds like, wow, is this really a fundamental shift in the industry that we should look forward to? No. I think this just means that the marketers are going to, you know, weasel word their way around conventional claims. You know, for example, instead of saying their product covers wrinkles, you know, which is an anti-aging claim, you know, they'll say it improves skin quality, or they'll just talk about it moisturizing and protecting, or the one I saw was that I liked was that it improves skin's comfort. So, you know, despite what this pro-aging movement, you know, may say, the underlying biology that needs to be addressed to make skin look better has not changed. So, you know, we're not really going to see a fundamental shift in the industry. I am worried, though, that this idea may spread to other personal care categories.
So,
really? Yeah, what would happen if this happened to, like, you know, antiperspirants, right? So we would have pro-perspirants, and these would...
make you smell?
Yeah, right, exactly. Or, you know, anti-dandruff, anti-acne. We could go, you know, we could go pro on all these categories. Right. And that kind of scares me.
Ah, yeah, it's not surprising that somebody might try that. You know, you got to be a contrarian a bit to be successful sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of contrarians, I noticed that there's another male beauty blogger out there.
Oh.
Yeah, I was reading a skincare blog called The Pampered Prince. he's written by a dude out in the UK, and he's just really into skincare. But anyway, this particular story caught my eye because he's writing about this DNA microchip technology from a company called Genu, which uses gene therapy to diagnose the factors in your genes that are causing you to age. And then they use that information for creating a specialized serum that is for your genotype that's supposed to give you better anti-aging.
Yeah.
I was impressed. The Pampered Prince rightly points out that the £600 price tag for the test.
What?
Yeah, £600 price tag. That gets you the DNA swab, which they take from your cheek.
Yeah.
And then they put it into this microchip, DNA microchip thing, and it analyzes your DNA somehow, sequencing, I don't know. And so for your £600, it costs for that analysis, plus you get 2 weeks of a specialized serum for you.
Holy crap.
But for our worldwide or American listeners, £600 is what, about $900? And but they have, if you want a 1 month supply of the serum, that's only £300. So you can pay £300 a month. And for that, this is the amazing part. You're going to see and after 12 weeks, you're going to see a reduction in lines and wrinkles by up to 1/3.
Standard claims that we've seen, you know, in any product.
Exactly. I mean, you can get that with Olay Regenerous.
Right.
I think the technology is really interesting, but this is well ahead of its time. You know, we just don't have the know-how or technology to translate anything you might learn from your genome into a functional serum anyway, right?
If you're, genetically disposed to have reduced collagen production, you know, which is, you know, and collagen collapse is one of the most common causes of wrinkles.
Right.
Really, everybody has that problem to some extent. If we had a really, really good way of boosting collagen, just give it to everybody.
Right. That's not good. I mean, genetics is really complicated, right? And even if you sequence someone's genome, I just don't see how that serum translates into a serum that would be different for anyone, right? Well, I mean, what information? You point out the collagen, but yeah, everybody loses collagen, right? And say you were one of those people who doesn't lose collagen, what would your serum be?
Well, okay, maybe, yeah, right. Maybe you don't need, you know, a collagen booster, but yeah, I don't know.
Are you going to get a break on the price since they're not putting the collagen? You know, I don't get it. So, yeah, you know, even if there was something customizable about the serum, there's really no guarantee, of course, that it's going to penetrate into the skin and do anything, right?
It's clever marketing BS, but it's just marketing BS. Yeah.
Right. I mean, the price is outrageous, and this technology, it's really just technology hype. So, but if you're going to spend this kind of money on skincare, here's my advice. Okay, get close to the podcast speaker right now. Here's what you do. If you're going to spend this much on anti-aging products, save up for Botox or a facelift, because these things are going to actually work. I mean, skin creams, when you're spending $1,000 on a skin cream to get the same results that you're getting from Olay at, you know, $25, boy, it's just not worth it. So,
well, here's that's actually a good segue to something else you could save your money up for. I saw that this biotech company called Niaderm is adapting a wound healing drug for use as an injectable anti-aging treatment. So it's this drug, it has the catchy designation of ND101. Hopefully they'll brand it a little bit better when it comes to market. But it has a yeah. plumping effect on skin, which makes it appear more, you know, smoother, more youthful. Now you currently get a similar effect, you know, a couple of different ways. You could use laser treatments, but you know, those are pretty uncomfortable because they burn off the upper layer of skin, and then when the skin heals, it grows back with a more youthful appearance. Or you can get an injection of either Botox, which freezes the muscles to remove wrinkles, or a filler like Restylane, you know, one that artificially plumps up skin. But the problem with those are they're not very natural looking, and they can be painful, especially those injections of the high molecular weight, like hyaluronic acid type fillers. Those supposedly hurt like hell when you get those injected under the skin. So.
Yeah,
so right. this new ND101 doesn't have any of those negative side effects. It works differently. So, you know, you might save your money up and just get a simple shot to look younger. I mean, would you do that if you could?
I mean, me personally. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're in the prime of your youth, yeah. But I could see, you know, this may be a legitimate anti-aging breakthrough, and we don't see those very often. So I'd be interested to see if this actually makes it through. They're apparently doing clinical trials now. So if they make it through that,
we
could see this come to market.
Yeah, this sounds like a really interesting technology, and you know, it's as with all of these things though, you can often see something good in laboratory experiments, and it just doesn't translate into.
Well, this one's already into human testing, so they've been far they've tested it on hands, and they're actually doing paired comparisons because they can test, you know, inject one hand and not the other. So far they're getting good results there. I don't know if they've done any work on faces yet.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a fascinating new avenue for anti-aging products, and we'll look forward to seeing if that really does revolutionize the beauty business.
See.
All right, this next story is a little depressing to me. It's been reported that the brand Beauty Counter, it's a new mm-hmm. beauty brand, but Beauty Counter has seen strong growth in the past year. This is supposedly a signal that the marketing, the safety of your cosmetics is an effective strategy. And that's really what I find troubling. I mean, how can product safety be a marketing angle for a cosmetics? I mean, cosmetics, they're all safe, right? In fact, in the U.S., it's illegal to sell any cosmetic that isn't safe. It's just illegal, right? And so I just don't see how product safety... It's a unique selling proposition, but evidently for Beauty Counter, they're doing great with it, right? Now, the brand says that how do they market like product safety? And the brand says that they have an initiative in their company called the Never List, which are their ingredients they deem as potentially unsafe, and they'll never use them in their products. And they also claim that in their direct selling model, they emphasize education first, product second. It's not surprising to me that this is a direct sales, right? Because you can say a lot of stuff in a direct sales meeting than you can in print advertising or media advertising, right? I mean, they say education first. I think what they mean is miseducation first, because if they're telling people that some of the ingredients in their cosmetics, like parabens or sulfates, are unsafe, you know, they're lying. I mean, these products, they've been tested. They're safe. But so, I mean, according to their marketing angle, maybe they're not. And, of course, then they reference the Think Dirty app, which is just filled with rubbish information. It's really
well, what I thought was most unsettling about that was their claim to be more transparent than other companies. You'll see that on their website. They talk about that, and actually, I mean, that's just not true. If you read their descriptions of, you know, what's on their never list and the rationale for why, there's no balanced discussion. I mean, look at parabens, for example, right? You could say parabens have been linked to breast cancer. True fact, right? But are you really being transparent if you just say that and stop there, as opposed to saying, but to date, all the most recent scientific studies have shown that there's no cause for concern? Well, no, they don't tell you that part. So that's not really being transparent. What that's doing is misrepresenting the information to drive their sales.
Right. Yeah. It's essentially misinforming people. I mean, interestingly, the article finishes with by stating that you know, they're giving advice on maybe how you should market safety, that so making safe or free from claims is a strategy that's going to grow in popularity. But, you know, at the same time, remember, the EU has outlawed any of these free from claims, right? So I guess this strategy won't be too effective in the EU much longer anyway. In the US, we're a little more loosey-goosey with what we let companies say about their products. So unfortunately, this kind of fear-mongering selling was probably still move a few products.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. You're talking about products in Europe. There's an interesting European trend that apparently we're going to be seeing here in the U.S. shortly. Yeah, I know, you know, we're talking about antiperspirants a minute ago, but it looks like the antiperspirant market may be revolutionized, at least if Unilever gets their way. So they have this this line of what they brand as dry spray antiperspirants. And you'll see these in Dove, Axe, and Degree, among some of their other products. And, you know, sprays, deodorant sprays, were very popular here in the U.S. back, I want to say, in the 60s and 70s. And around that time, there were concerns about safety of some of the ingredients, like hexachlorophene was banned. And then there were concerns about environmental impacts of other ingredients, like the chlorofluorocarbons, the CFCs. And those, you know, kind of that double whammy essentially caused those sprays to disappear from the market. And then you saw, you know, you saw Stix take over, and those are the predominant form today. Apparently Unilever has new technology that's using, you know, VOC compliant formulas. So VOC stands for volatile organic compounds, which those are the materials that cause air pollution. So there are laws around how many of those you can use in certain formulas. So these are VOC compliant formulas. Yet they contain no water or alcohol, so they're very dry and not sticky. And I guess they have some proprietary aerosolizing technology that helps them spray.
Spraying the powder?
I don't know. I'm not sure. And what surprised me was that sprays, you know, driven by this product form, these are the dominant form globally. I guess they have over 60% of the market in both Europe and Latin America, which I didn't realize.
Wow.
So this, specifically their dry spray, is the number one selling antiperspirant globally. So, you know, will this catch on? I don't know. I personally don't really like sprays, because I feel like no matter how good the spray technology is, you always waste some. You miss it, right? It doesn't always, you know, hit its target. And I'm sure anybody who's used, you know, hairspray in the bathroom knows what that's like. But it's true of antiperspirants too. So I like the stick. You know, it goes right exactly where you need it. To me, it gives you the optimal control. Yeah. And I'll tell you, one of those things lasts forever. You know, I mean, a stick is quite economical.
Well, you know, when you get down to that plastic nub, you're supposed to get a new one, right? But that, you know, when it goes down to the end,
I thought that was the
plastic,
exfoliator.
You're supposed to get a new stick. You know, actually, there is some evidence that people are liking aerosols more, though, because the sunscreen aerosols have kind of made huge inroads with sunscreen aerosols.
But true, but they're still not, at least in the U.S., they have not been validated by the FDA as a legitimate delivery form.
Oh yeah, but that hasn't stopped the popularity of them. I know, but I mean, I see those all the time. And but I have the same concerns with you about the spray, especially those sunscreen sprays. You spray it on, you're wasting much. And it'll be interesting to see if this catches on, because I remember when aerosols, like, I think when I first started using deodorant, it was all everything was spray, right? And then just overnight, that kind of just disappeared. Yeah. And I don't know if Unilever will be able to convince people that, oh, yeah, I know those other ones were unsafe for the environment, but this is definitely safe.
Well, and especially if they're going to be the only company leading that charge because they have some proprietary technology, other companies may not be able to compete there. I don't know if that's an advantage for them or if it's just going to be harder for them to persuade the category to shift. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see what happens with that category.
All right. Well, I think we got time for one more if you're good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, that story reminds me because Unilever has their that Axe body spray. I wonder if it's using that same technology. But I know the Axe body spray was sort of that was kind of launched when this whole metrosexual thing was. Remember the metrosexual?
Sure.
I think I remember hearing it sometime in the early noughts. Yeah. Anyway, I remember hearing the term metrosexual from our market research folks. And this was supposed to be like a group of men that they took their appearance more seriously. They lived in the cities. They were going to be the next huge market for the cosmetic
industry.
Sure,
the men's market will explode because of the metrosexuals.
I've been hearing the men's market exploding for years. It just hasn't happened. They were going to have metrosexuals get their nails done. They were going to use nail polish, color cosmetic. It just hasn't. But, well, you know, it just never happens. And in this recent report, this was from Data Monitor also. They must have put out a lot of reports this week, right? They report that the metrosexual is going away and being replaced by what they call the lumbersexual.
So
these are guys who look like lumberjacks, I guess. I guess that means they're embracing, you know, facial hair and wearing flannel and carrying axes around.
What, you mean the Unilever product?
No, actual hatchets. But I thought they did put together this interesting infographic. And so here are some interesting numbers about the new male segment. 52% of males consider their looks and appearance important. Yeah, 52%. I mean, everybody thinks their looks are important, right? I mean, no, like,
yeah, right. Who says no to that?
And it's like the top five countries for male grooming. U.S. is number one. Yay, we're number one. Then there's the UK, followed by Canada, Germany, and Spain. So nowhere else in the world do men care about their eyes, because Spain has and I guess that's related to product launches.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So there is a significant growth in the launch of products designed specifically for beards and mustaches. They went from eight products launched in 2011 to 42 products launched in 2014 worldwide. So there you have it, the lumbersexual. Hey, Randy, you're a lumbersexual, right? Aren't you?
Let me just rub my facial hair against the microphone here. But that's a bit of a trailing indicator, isn't it, of the market? I mean, they're saying because they launched a product.
Yeah. We'll see how Beardalizer does.
Well, and besides, it's just a stupid name for a trend.
Yeah.
I mean, you think they could have come, you know, we just came off of, you know, Movember, right? So that's certainly on trend, according to this article.
Right,
so
tied in. Remember that time back in the early 2000s, I was doing this thing, I had a beard and I was doing this thing called facial hair in flux. It was sort of, I would shave my beard in sort of different ways. It didn't last that long because it's not really professional in corporate America, but I do remember that 1 week of facial hair, living art, really, I called it.
Well, it's just another one of your breakthrough corporate.
God, it's a wonder I kept the job for that many years.
that's surprising. All right, well, you know what? We're out of time.
Oh, darn. Well,
yeah.
You know, we forgot to mention our book, It's Okay to Have Lead in Your Lipstick.
And answers to other beauty questions you're dying to know.
Yeah, and this was, you know, Christmas, right? So we gotta do a little, little Christmas music.
You realize I'm gonna cut all this out, don't you?
All right, there we go.
All right, everybody. Well, happy holidays, Perry, to you and to our listening audience. Thank you for sitting through this, everybody.
All right, yes. Thanks, everybody, and have a great holiday season.
Have a great holiday. We'll see you next time. And remember, until then, be brainy about your beauty.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay. He sleeps all night and he works all day.
I cut down trees, I eat my lunch, I go to the laboratory. On Wednesday I go shopping and have buttered scones for tea.
He cuts down trees, he eats his lunch, he goes to the laboratory. On Wednesday he goes shopping and has buttered scones for tea.